They are tinkering with the laws again, and big changes are coming to rugby in 2025. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I break down exactly what these new laws are, how they're going to be implemented, and most importantly, how they affect the Springboks. Okay, so as you know, pretty much every year there are new laws in rugby. They tinker with them. Usually they come into effect from the 1st of July. Well, on this occasion, the 1st of January is the big date. But the important thing is that it will only affect competitions that start after the 1st of January. So if you're a Stormers or a Bulls or a Lions fan, maybe a Sharks supporter, Cheetahs, whatever the case may be, rest assured that this is not going to affect the URC or the Champions Cup this season, but obviously the season thereafter. Having said that, when the Springboks are in action next year in July, reportedly against Italy and then the Rugby Championship, these are the laws that are going to be implemented. And one of the problems that I have with this is that you're going to be playing a certain sport effectively during the URC, during your franchise or domestic season, and then you have to play a different sport come July. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it? But let's have a look and see what exactly it is that World Rugby are trying to do now. Quicker conversion. So players will have just 60 seconds to take a conversion kick after a try, aligning it with the time allowed for penalties. A visible shot clock will help keep the game moving. I don't have a problem with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Perfectly normal. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Line-out formation with the countdown. Line-outs must now form within 30 seconds, matching the setup time already required for scrums. Okay, again, I don't have a problem with that. I think that when it comes to scrums and line-outs and any set pieces, as well as kicks, penalties and conversions, I do think that there has been a lot of time that has been wasted over the years. So I don't have a problem with us trying to speed things up there. Let's keep things moving. I don't have a problem with that. Before I move on to the next law change, I want to tell you quickly about my brand new book that I've written. It's called How to Become a Sports Journalist. It's the perfect resource for a high school kid, university student, or mid-career journalist who feels that they are currently stuck in a rut. Guys, I've been in this business for 20 years now, and everything that I've learned has been put into this book, as well as the advice that I wish someone had told me 20 years ago when I was starting out. Okay, back to the law changes, and sure enough, rucks and mauls are there now. Let's be honest, guys, a lot of us have felt over the years that a lot of these law changes are actually specifically directed or even targeted at the Springboks. You think of that new law when it comes to the scrum, right? So now when it's a scrum penalty, after the second scrum, you blow it up and now you can just have a free kick. You can't, the option to take another scrum has been taken away. Things like that, depowering the scrum, we've called it. We don't like that. Let's see what they have to say about rucks and mauls on this occasion. The idea here is to have cleaner play around rucks, mauls and scrums. Mm-hmm. Players are now prohibited from interfering with opponents attempting to play the ball within 1 meter of these set pieces. This means scrum halves will have more freedom to deliver quick ball to their teams. Okay, we're kind of seeing that already, right? You think of the Caterpillar, you think of even just this weekend, that beautiful double charge down try that the Springboks scored against England. First it was Eben Etzebeth that charged down from Jack Van Portvliet, and then it made its way to Marcus Smith, whose kick was charged down by Peter Steph du Toit. A lot of people in England felt that Eben was offside. I thought it was touch and go, to be perfectly honest. There was another instance later in the match where Eben actually was clearly offside. This just seems to be an extension of that, trying to further enforce it, further police it. If I'm honest, I don't really have a problem with that. Okay, I can live with that. How about the lineouts? What are they going to do there? Yep, there's a tweak here too. Lineouts with an inaccurate throw, play continues without stoppage. But this is something that we have been familiar with, actually. So in uncontested lineouts, if the ball is not thrown straight, the game will now continue with a play-on rule. This eliminates unnecessary stoppages and keeps the match alive. So previously, the rule was actually if it's inside your 22 or I think it was inside the 22, not your 5 meter. You can correct me if I'm wrong. That if the defending team did not contest the lineout and the throw was not straight, well, you could throw wherever you wanted, right? So the hooker could actually throw it to the fly half if he liked, and that would be perfectly legal. Now what's happening, it just says that if the ball is not thrown straight. Now that could be anything. So now it could be a line out on the halfway line, and the team throwing in can just pretty much throw it wherever they want. Now, okay, I mean, we do want to see straight throws at the lineouts, but now their rule is if it's uncontested and it's skew, play on. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that. Probably, if I'm honest, I don't have a definitive opinion on that. Let's take a look now at the next one of these law variations that have been tweaked coming on the 1st of January, 2025. One-stop malls. Okay, not really. I just wanted to kid with you a little bit there. Okay, that's something that isn't going to change. We've already seen that, right? This new law, the one-stop mall, if it stopped once, then you have to continue playing. Okay, right. So again, something that we have always felt has been designed to depower South Africa's muscle up front. But now, not all the laws that they proposed actually made the cut, which you could argue at least there's a semblance of common sense at World Rugby HQ. And those one-stop malls actually is something that has been rejected. Woo! That's all I can say about that. So in the URC, we're gonna have to continue with these stupid one-stop malls, but once we get to July, the Springboks don't have to abide by that one-stop mall anymore. Wonderful. I am so happy about this. The 20-minute red card, they've deferred on that. What does that mean? It means that they haven't yet made a decision and they will come back to it at a later stage. Because at World Rugby, when it comes to making difficult decisions, they try not to have to do it, don't they? Now, allowing players to call a mark from a kickoff or a restart is also something that has been rejected by the World Rugby Council. And I'm happy about that because we didn't really want to see that. I don't think. To me, that was just stupid. I don't think that it was ruining the game or the spectacle. I just thought it was something that was stupid and that our game can do without. There have also been some changes. Wait for it! Regarding the TMO, the television match official. Of course there were. A major change actually is a revised television match official protocol. The TMO now has enhanced powers to spot clear and obvious infringements in the final phases of attacking play before a try is scored. This includes knock-ons, forward passes, and offside calls. Okay, I won't lie to you. I thought that was already in place. How often have we seen tries being scored? Again, England, South Africa on Saturday at Twickenham. Both teams scored a try in the second half, in the first 10 minutes. And in both instances, the TMO called it back. Apelele Fassi with a forward pass. And as I said, you're talking to, I've forgotten what the infringement. Oh, yes. Mauro Itoje with a neck roll on Malcolm Marks. That's what the England try was called back for. So I'm not really sure what they're trying to tell us here, because as far as I can tell, this has been the case all along. But who knows, when it comes to World Rugby, it can be quite difficult to understand them sometimes. But nevertheless, the aim of all of these laws and law variations and tweaks and changes is to make the sport better. I'm not convinced that it's always the case, but at least we can say that they are always trying, for better or for worse. One thing that they do want to do is reduce stoppages and speed the game up, and there's this obsession with ball in play time. Guys, I saw a stat not that long ago that ball in play in 2024 is about the same as ball in play in 1987. So I'm not really sure what it is that they're trying to do, because there's this nostalgic element, right, where they try to tell us, oh, it was better in the old days. How many times have you heard that, huh? When we were growing up, our fathers and especially our grandfathers would always tell us how much better things were in the old days. Well, it turns out ball in play was the same in the old days as it is today. So what's the problem? I just don't get these people sometimes. They also talk about enhancing entertainment. It's the kind of language that is unsurprising when you factor in that there are two Rugby World Cups coming up, a men's tournament and a women's tournament, to be held in the United States of America. And when you think of it like that, all of this starts to make sense. Are they trying to turn our sport into the NFL? A lot of people will tell you that they're trying to turn our sport into rugby league. And none of us want to see that. No, thank you. And I look forward to speaking to you in the next episode.